Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Grace Nurtures. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us on this fantastic Friday. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by none other than Brother Bryant Tansel. His message for today is entitled Matthew. Stop whatever it is you are doing. Find yourself a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Tansel, you are on the air.
Thank you, Danielle. Happy Friday, everyone out there. Danielle, I just want to say to you, thank you so much for all you do, getting us ready for these calls every morning without fail. It's quite remarkable how you've gone throughout just hosting these calls and preparing everyone for the message they're going to hear. So I know everyone on this phone will congratulate you and thank you very much for the job that you do. It's absolutely outstanding. It's remarkable. And I want you to know how much all of us appreciate you and what you do. So thank you so much. We begin by talking about our topic for today is Matthew. And the preacher says, I've experienced my fair share of criticism. Like many people, when I'm criticized for a sermon or a comment I made during a sermon, I feel it deeply. I can get a dozen compliments on one of my sermons, but when the day is over, it's the criticism I remember. Like most of us, right? He says, I suppose that this is typical for most of us. We feel the negative more intensely than the positive. But Jesus was different. He acted as God wanted him to act in all situations and never let the critics get to him. Jesus was never bothered by the pressures of his critics. He went on being and doing what God wanted him to do. This was never more clearly seen than when he chose one of the final disciples, later to be called an apostle. When he first met Levi, or Matthew as he describes himself in his own gospel, he was still a tax collector. At this point, Jesus had been active in healing people, casting out demons, as you remember, and doing other amazing miracles. He's been helping people in many ways, all people, regardless of gender, age, background. The Lord was gaining popularity and fame this time. Then in the midst of all this success, he encounters a tax collector of all people, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about tax collectors and how they were viewed. So it says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came, and they were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners? Sometimes we have thoughts of people like that in our mind, right? Why is he eating or she eating with those people, and why are they socializing with those people? But when Jesus heard this, he said, it's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I'll let that statement sit with you. It's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Then the disciples of John came to him asking, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. But no one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and a worse tear results. Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wineskins burst, and the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved. Over in Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 17. So in these few verses, Jesus does some scandalous things that would have and did shock society, and probably his followers as well. First, he talks to a tax collector. These men were so despised in the day that they could not attend a synagogue service or go in the inner courts of the temple. They were social outcasts, pariahs, who were despised by their people for taking more tax money than was required so they could live a lavish lifestyle. Most devout Jews and even non-practicing Jews during that time wouldn't associate with them or even speak to them. For Jesus to stop and talk to Matthew was unique and shocking. Then to take it to the next step and invite this sinner, quotes, to join his inner circle was even more disturbing. We're not told what the other disciples thought about all this, but like the other people of that time and age, they were probably pretty surprised too. That leads to Jesus dealing with his critics, and we all have critics. Those critics are from his enemies, the Pharisees and the lawyers. Those critics come from his friends, the disciples of John the Baptist, and we'll look at this episode from three perspectives. First, we'll look at it from Matthew's viewpoint. Then we'll examine what the critics were thinking. And finally, we'll see what we can learn from the Lord's perspective. So first, for Matthew, it felt good to matter. For this tax collector, it was odd for any Jew to stop and speak to him socially. Most of his contact with his own people would have just been brusque, silent, or rude. And he's used to his own people hating him and treating him with indignation. Now this new teacher stops to speak with him, and he invites Matthew to follow him. The fact that a man like Jesus will speak to him and invite him to join him was so powerful, this tax collector got up and followed. This was not insignificant. He was giving up a very lucrative position, as you know. The tax collectors under the Roman system could collect all the money they wanted. They had to pay the Romans a certain amount, but then they could keep anything more that they took in. This led to widespread corruption, with the tax collectors living in luxury while they took money from poor and struggling families. When Matthew left his job to follow Jesus, he gave up wealth. And while fishermen could always go back to fishing, Matthew would not be able to just leave Jesus and go back to tax collecting. This was a break with all aspects of his past. So he turned the corner. Yet it was important to this man that Jesus noticed him, spoke to him, and invited him to join him. For the first time in who knows how long, Matthew felt like he mattered. Jesus looked beyond his reputation and validated him as a human being. We need to follow the Lord on this. When we meet people, especially those in our society who've been written off, think of the homeless people, addicts, immigrants, we should stop and treat them with the same dignity and warmth that motivated Matthew to follow Jesus. We may not convert or change any one of them, but we can let them know that they matter. Secondly, Matthew. The title is It Feels Good to Celebrate. So Matthew doesn't just follow Jesus. He throws a get-together for Jesus and the disciples. This little dinner party was attended by Matthew's friends, other tax collectors, and social outcasts. It's hard for us to imagine the outrage that this would stimulate. Again, what is he doing eating with those folks, right? You can hear it in our minds. Jesus and his followers go to the home of the tax collector and then associating and eating with them. No wonder the critics of Jesus were picking at his followers about this behavior. However, Matthew, it wasn't enough to follow Jesus. He wanted his friends to know Jesus as well, like Andrew in John 1 and 41. Before Matthew followed, he wanted to introduce others to the Lord. The natural thing for him was to invite friends and celebrate the new direction in his life. Matthew saw that all of this was an opportunity to let others know Jesus, and to enjoy his new path in life. We need to recapture this attitude in our assemblies And when we get together like this, and if you're having Bible classes and meetings, we don't gather to mourn a dead Lord. We gather to celebrate a risen Savior. Too often, we fail to enjoy or celebrate the salvation we've been given, but we think of the burden of being a Christian while forgetting the joy of our relationship to God through His Son. Matthew changed the direction of his life. Before he started the walk with Jesus, he celebrated. And let's talk about the critics for a second. Jesus must be a sinner, is what they're thinking, right? As the Pharisees watch this party take place, they are very aghast. A decent man would never go into the home of a tax collector, let alone sit down and eat with him and his tax collecting friends. Eating with a person in that time and place meant much more than mere food. It was friendship. It was a relationship. Eating with a person implied approval of what they were doing. These Pharisees could not lure themselves to talk to tax collectors, let alone eat with them. Now here's the teacher going into the house and sitting down to a social meal with them. Can you imagine their heads exploding at this time? So the conclusion for the Pharisees is that Jesus must also be a sinner. After all, he associates freely with them. If he's at the home with the sinners, then he too must be guilty before God. Sadly, like a lot of critics today, they did not go to Jesus to confront him. Instead, they complained to his fathers, your followers. You ever know people that they don't complain to you, but they'll go to your family members, or go to your coworkers, they'll go everywhere but you, and they'll just complain to people that are close to you and around you. Maybe they're trying to stir up dissension, and maybe they're attempting to minimize Jesus' growing popularity. They harp on Jesus to his followers, but the Lord offers the reply. Doctors, to do the work they train for, have to be around sick people. What good is a physician who will not associate with the ill? Just so a Messiah must connect with sinners. That was his mission. Yes, Jesus had to be around sinners. What other choice did he have? And although these Pharisees may never grasp it, they too were sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus will associate with them too, as we shall see in future articles. So Jesus will minister to the obvious sinners, tax collectors, and the proud sinners, the Pharisees. So we'll look at a few more of these topics at a later time where the critics say Jesus is not a good Jew. Jesus turns around and says all people are welcome, and Jesus introduces his new kingdom. I'd like to leave you with a song that's ringing in my head this morning, and it says, All to Jesus, the title's All to Jesus, I Surrender. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. The second verse is All to Jesus, I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus, I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let the blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Will you bow with me today in a word of prayer? Father, thank you for this lovely Friday morning. Thank you for the families represented on this call today. Thank you for us and our walk of faith, our participation in programs like this to inspire us, to encourage us, to give us just a little nugget to get a little bit further in this life and in this world. I hope something was said today that takes us further along our journey. I pray today for the families that are hurting out there, whether it be losing a loved one to COVID or someone sick with COVID that's struggling with it, someone sick with cancer, and families by their bedside trying to administer to them. I pray for people that have lost their job and people that don't know what's around the corner as far as the next meal. We pray for all of us traveling and traveling grace, Lord. you know our needs before we even think about asking for them. You know the blessings you have for us around the corner, Lord. Continue to walk with us, draw us nearer, keep us close to you, keep us healthy, mentally healthy and strong. And Father, thank you so much for programs like Grace Nurture, where we can uplift all the families on the call today. Thank you again for a lovely weekend, Lord. We know it's going to be very bright. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.